ready.
Ready, ready.
With a maniacal laugh, the madman seats himself at the controls and reaches for the red button.
He pushes it.
Hey, listen, I'm going to, before we get going here, I just got a note. It is, certainly it is. Happy Friday to you. Happy Friday to you. Happy Friday, dear fellow victim. Happy Friday to you. A little of that piano music, Ed, please. Just sneak it in there. Happy Friday. Yes, friends, you too can learn to play the piano with both hands 7 minutes a day with our magic four-color slide rule device. And you too can learn to amaze and mystify your friends. Be the smash of the party. Sit down and play like an old-timer. Hold it there. Now, I reset that, Ed, please. Every time I hear that, that reminds me of something. Anybody who ever grew up in the Midwest, just reset it, that's all. Anybody who ever grew up in the Midwest, and there are billions. You know, they took a recent survey to find out just how many people live here in New York City, right here in the heart of Manhattan. They're talking about Manhattan here. To find out just how many people were actually born in New York. And the results were amazing. I mean, really. And the greatest single number of people living here in Manhattan, that is, you know, non-ethnic types, are refugees from the Midwest. Hooray, here we are. You know, so we have given the town somewhat of a flavor, I would say, wouldn't you? But anybody who ever grew up in the Midwest, or at least in the vicinity of Chicago, has to remember all over. This is not that long ago. This is just comparatively recent. In fact, they may even still be doing it on some small stations out there. But there was a show that was on the radio that used to be heard constantly. They were on about 15 stations in Chicago. Now, I'm not talking about early radio. I'm talking about, you know, radio, that's all. And it was a gigantic commercial. That's all it was. It was a half-hour commercial. And it purportedly came from a piano warehouse. Did you ever hear of that thing? And here's what he used to say. He used to go like this, you see. All of a sudden, the station break would come on, and the guy would say, "This is WMAQ in Chicago. The time now is 4 p.m. Coming to you direct from warehouse number 179 on the south side of Chicago, the piano rhythms of Don Carlos. You too can own a piano. For just $5 down and $7 a week, you can own the very piano that Don Carlos is playing at this very minute. Don Carlo is seated at piano number 422. Piano number 422 is a beautiful upright piano made by the Strawby Piano Company. And now Don Carlo plays an old favorite on piano number 422. In just a few weeks, you'll be able to play your new Strawby piano just the way Don Carlo is playing his right now. To Don Carlo in just a moment as he's moving now over to piano number 317. Don Carlo, our favorite soloist here at the big warehouse on the south side of Chicago, where there are thousands of pianos to choose from. Have you ever asked
ask yourself what sort of a future that you are preparing for your child. Of course, your child goes to the public schools and is getting a good education there. But what about your child's social future? Will your child be able to entertain and perform at the parties that you yourself long ago gave up on? Well, if you contact warehouse number 169 on the south side of Chicago, your child will be able to play the piano, and untold social graces and success will be his or hers in just a few short weeks. Thank you. That was very good. Very good. Yeah, they used to come on all the time, you know. And there was all kinds of rumors. See, people used to say, first of all, that there was no such warehouse. I mean, they had one big piano record. They would play that piano record. And there were all other rumors, of course, that there was such a warehouse, and it was a den of thieves. But these two arguments would go on and on and on. And I would like to suggest now that probably 27 billion Midwesterners, I don't know if they ever did that out here in New York, but about 27 million Westerners grew up believing that if they did not know how to play the piano, their life was going to be a desert, they would never really make it. And they had another guy that would come on, and his piano sounded pretty much the same way. It would say, and now,
this is WMAQ, the time is now 4 p.m.
Pleasure in presenting the Don Carlo 7 minutes a day slide rule piano course. You do not even have to own a piano in your own home to learn to play the piano just the way you hear Don Carlo playing it right now. The very first day, you will be picking melodies out with your right hand. Such melodies as the Happy Birthday Song, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and My Country Tis of Thee. And by the end of the third day, your left hand will join in, and by the end of the week, after just 7 minutes a day with our magic four-color slide rule device, you'll be playing the piano just the way Don Carlo is playing it right now. Think how the ability to play the piano will change your life overnight. Have you been a wallflower at parties all of your life? Have you had to stand by while others enjoyed the fame and the success that should rightfully be yours? Send your name and address to Don Carlo in care of this station, and in just 7 minutes after your slide rule device arrives, you'll be on your way to fame and fortune and social approval. All right. Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of ways to set yourself up to figuring. And then, of course, there was, I don't have any, thank God, I don't have any records of this. But there was also an accordion school that was attempting to convince people that if they could play Red Sails on the Sunset on an accordion, their life from that minute on would be one long, ecstatic song. You remember that? Oh, yeah, you come from the Midwest, right? They're still doing it, aren't they, Ed? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, nevertheless, oh, listen, one of the very first, that brings up a whole ball of wax here, which I didn't even mean to go into. I was in high school, and, of course, I had fallen. Everybody had fallen in one way or another, had fallen prey, victim, really, to that kind of propaganda. You had to learn to play a musical instrument. Or, you know, forget it. You know, you were just going to stand around in the corner and eat peanut butter sandwiches while all the others took the fantastic chicks out because they could play the piano. And so all kinds of kids would go and take these lessons. That was a whole big thing, taking lessons. And you'd see them waiting on the street corner Saturday morning with their gigantic black case that contained their $600, 700-pound accordion.
that they were taking to learn to play, you know. I must confess that one time when I was about, I was about 17 roughly, and I was in high school. I think it was actually 16. It was in the summer, and I had this job on a local radio station, and one of the very first shows that I ever did, and I look back on it now, it's such a, I don't know, you know, you're going to have to answer for a lot of stuff ultimately before the great bar of justice, and I think this is going to be one. There was a fantastic, tough lady. I mean, she was really mean. She was the kind of lady that has hair that looks like she's wearing a small black football helmet. You know, the kind that she wore rimless glasses, and she was absolutely, totally grim. And let's say her name was Miss Dorothy. She used a name like that. She had Miss something, so Miss Dorothy. And it was called Miss Dorothy's Talent School. And every Saturday morning at an ungodly hour, because, you know, it's real cheap time on a radio station, they could buy this time for about, maybe $7, $8 an hour. They came on, I think it's something like 7:30 in the morning on Saturday for 1 hour. It was called Miss Dorothy's Kitty Talent Hour. And guess who was given the rotten job? Guys used to actually fist fight at the radio station. To get out of doing this, first of all, it was totally humiliating, and not only was it humiliating, but it was the kind of job that if you did in the radio station, it marked you. So I was, 17 years old, and all these guys were, veteran announcers. Some guys were even 18. There was a couple of guys that were 19. Hard, by the way, our 19-year-old guy was a hard, grizzled, angry news commentator. You know, the older you got, the more they tended to give you the news, see? So I was given this show, and at 7:30 every morning, well, actually, we came on at 7:30, but at 6:15, I had to be in the radio station, and they had a big studio, and it was completely filled with, like, maybe 75, 85 kids, thousands of kids, and all our mothers all sat up on camp chairs. And they merely called me Uncle Gene. I was a cool 70. I'm Uncle Gene. So we'd go into the studio and you could smell the Wrigley's gum and the peanut butter sandwiches, and these kids were all little squirts, little skinny kids. I don't think the oldest kid was more than 8 or 9 years old, see, but all little skinny kids. A certain kind of kid that takes lessons. There's another kind of kid that doesn't. He's out playing football, baseball. There's the lesson-taking kid. And here I was, knee-deep in lesson-taking kids, and it was my first experience with that total shrew of the world, the showbiz mama. I want to tell you, there is nothing this side of the hammer-headed shark that is more mean, evil, and man-eating, actually, than the showbiz mother. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, they got little green marbles for eyes, and they're totally intolerant of anything that seems to get in the way of their kid, and they all feel that their kid is fantastically talented. Well, Miss Dorothy, the head of the Kitty Talent School, she knew this, and she was milking it. You know, I had a feeling she was underneath that great big, that gigantic cow of avarice, ambition, and sad, blasted hopes and dreams. And she's milking it. You can see the cream coming out. And every Saturday morning at 7:30, I would come on, and they used to give me just a slight echo chamber, if you can provide that with me, for me, Ed, because Miss Dorothy was known as a genius of production. After all, she was in showbiz. She taught kids how to play the accordion. And Miss Dorothy would stand in the control room with that grim face, and she'd, at exactly 7:30, she would point to me, and I would say, Miss Dorothy's Kitty's Amateur Hour is on the air. Yes, from our studios live, we're bringing you Miss Dorothy's Amateur Kitty Hour. Thousands of talented kids have come this morning, and all these kitties are going to show you just how much they've learned in a few short weeks at Miss Dorothy's Kitty Talent Salon.
My head turns to cheesecake just thinking of it. Oh, this is WOR, friends.
Indeed it is. WOR New York. And Ed, please, would you provide us with one of those little goodies from the sales department, if you will.
Get an economical mid-size car that won't cramp your style. The roomy Matador with a six-cylinder engine standard. And the all-new 74 Matador is the only mid-size car backed by the exclusive AMC Buyer Protection Plan. An unbeatable combination, the 74 Matador plus the Buyer Protection Plan. It means, under normal usage and accepting tires, if anything AMC did goes wrong with your new 74 in the first 12 months or 12,000 miles, we'll fix or replace it, free. Come in, meet the unbeatable combination. 74 Matador, backed by the AMC Buyer Protection Plan.
Yeah, see your AMC dealer where you get a good deal and a good deal more. Yeah, that's true, Dan. I'll tell you, Dad just mentioned he did a radio show out in Boston. He remembers a guy that was a fantastic talent. He cracked his knuckles to the Blue Danube Waltz. Well... That's a genuine folk talent, actually. And I remember one time, what television show? Now wait a minute. Now, as long as we're getting into this thing, this is a piece of Americana if there ever was one, because you know we're a people who feels that anything is possible. That's one thing that sets Americans apart from any other race in the world. Americans never recognize the quantity called talent. They just won't accept that. And it is firmly believed by most people that if they had the time, they could write a book. You know, it doesn't take talent. It's just a matter of time, that's all. If they could learn to type. Acting, same way. When I was doing a lot of stuff here in town, Broadway things and that, people would say, you know, I'd like to be an actor. You know, I've got a good memory. I could learn the words. Acting is a matter of learning the words. So naturally, the next transition is that if you could get enough time and you could take a couple of piano lessons, there's no reason why you couldn't be a fantastic talent, play piano, you know. The word talent really doesn't mean talent to most people. It means success. If you're successful, you have talent. So it's a very curious word. So all these ladies would come in every Saturday morning and grim. Oh, I want to tell you, grim. There was no joking among these ladies. And his poor little kid would be dragged in. And most of them, I related to the kids. I would say about 75% of the kids were there under forced draft. And I could see the hell that each kid had gone through with the preceding week. The kid wanted to be a kid. See, instead, his mother, who never went anywhere in her own life, and by George, she's going to see to it that that Esther Jane learns to play the accordion, because and here this poor little kid would be standing up by the microphone, so little that her feet would stick out from underneath the accordion, and you'd see the top of her head over the accordion, this gigantic accordion, about 700 pounds, full of all kinds of wind and equipment and straps and stuff, struggling through three notes of such things as Stardust. They were always playing Stardust. Well, she had so many kids on the show that no kid could play more than four or five notes. And this is where I came in. I was a traffic cop. My job was to drag the kid away from the microphone and drag the other kid, the next one, in front of it. And I had a list, see? And I'd say, well, that was little Mary Jean Glockenspiel playing Stardust. Thank you, Mary Jean. And I'd push her up, and her mother would get mad. I could see her face is getting livid, because they'd worked all month on this this Stardust, and we only got three notes. And she goes, da, 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 dee, la, dee, dee. Thank you, that was Mary Jean Glockenspiel playing her accordion, and that's after only 6 weeks of lessons. Your child, too, can learn to play just the way little Esther Jane plays the accordion. And now, Mary Jane Strickland is going to play for us on her accordion. She's going to play, what was that? She's going to play Red Sails in the Sunset. Mary Jane Strickland. Let's give her a big hand. And, of course, no mother is ever going to give another kid a big hand. So there'd be a little ripple of applause. Mary Jane's cousin and her mother would applaud. And then she would start. You'd hear this. She's trying to get her equipment all right. Then she would go. Thank you very much. That was Mary Jane Strickland. And now we move on to the xylophone section. And they start moving the xylophone. Oh. Man. I sometimes wake up at 3 a.m. dreaming of endless kids with accordions. Hey, speaking of that, that phenomenon, teaching kids how to play the piano and all these other instruments when they really hate it. I wonder how many guys were scarred for life by violin lessons. This can be very humiliating when everybody else is out playing second base and you're going down to buy some rosin. And I'm just curious, how many of you have ever seen a movie that's based on that entire premise? And it is a genuine... I hesitate to say what it is. It's a surreal movie. And you know, surrealism is quite rare in any of the pop art forms. Did you ever see a movie? I'll give you a clue. A movie about taking a piano lesson. Very surreal. What was the name of that movie? And all good movie buffs know this because this was a kind of a landmark movie. And I'll give you another clue. It starred a guy, the star of it. There were several stars, but the star, the real star that ran through it, was a guy who was on WOR for a long time. Now, what was the name of the movie? And who was the guy? And really, it's a great movie. If you ever get a chance to see this, it was on television here a couple of months ago. And if you ever see it pop up on TV, see it. Really, it's an extraordinary movie. And more than that, if you see it, be sure to try to see it in color, because the color is absolutely wild in this thing. So would you please log the Provident Bank spot while you're thinking of that serious piece of Americana out there. Provident Savings Bank, which is New Jersey's first mutual savings bank, reminds you that a Provident Passbook Savings account is one sure, safe way to get high, steady returns on savings. Many banks focus attention on high-rate time certificates. But you tie up your money for a long period of time. Of course, you pay heavy penalties for any withdrawal. Provident has time certificates, but they're 5 1/4 a year from day of deposit passbook savings account, which pays dividends each and every month, probably would be the best deal for almost anybody. So if you would like to make a pretty good interest on your money that you're saving, I would suggest that you write to Provident here at WOR, and they'll send you the information. Provident, WOR, New York, 10018, or you can call them collect. The number in Jersey is 201-434-0772, and ask Andy Nesbitt for details. Old Andy's sitting over there just waiting. Andy Nesbitt for details. Provident, member of the FDIC. But now, what was that movie? Now, come on, you guys. You base your whole existence on the fact you know all these things. Now, come on. All right, I'll give you another clue then. I'll give you another clue. The female lead, let's say the female sub-lead, the romantic lead in this, although in ways she was kind of the heavy too, was also on WOR for a long time. Uh-huh. How do you like that? It was a great movie, really, a very funny movie. And the final scene is an absolute tour de force of surrealistic movie making. And I'll give you an example of what the final scene is, so maybe this will give you a clue. The final scene was in a very strange, wild-looking auditorium. And the auditorium, it was really not an auditorium, it was kind of a dream capsule of some kind. And it had white, curving walls. It was all dead white, as far as you could see. and it was curving. Everything was curving all the place. It was tremendous. And running around in and out of the curving walls of this curious, strange, surreal, Dali-esque place was an enormously long, it was like a serpent that just wound all around, was this incredibly long piano keyboard. And seated at this keyboard were thousands of kids all winding in and out of this fantastic scene, and the lights are changing, and high above them is this maniacal director. He's standing like on a high platform, like maybe 1,000 feet above him. It's wild. And he's way up there, and he's got these giant silver batons. And he's dressed like, he's dressed like the devil, actually. He looks like the devil. He's got this great cape with a huge swirling red lining, and he had all kinds of silver cabalistic medals all over him. And he's up there directing these kids. And he taps on this celestial podium, and you hear it ring. It goes ding, 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 ding. And all the kids sit up. They look scared. Their hands go to the piano. And then he takes that silver baton with great delicacy, and he rings it again. Ding, 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 ding. He raises his hands high, and his cape swirls. And he brings down this downbeat. And out of this enormous thing, you hear the sound. And that's what's so fantastic about it. With all this tremendous place, the sound is one little thin, sad piano. Badly played. Millions of kids are playing away at it. All with a great look of fear in their eyes. And this devil gets taller and taller, and the piano music raises higher and higher. And he's swirling up on this enormous podium. His eyes are flashing. This great silver baton is rising up and down. It looks like some kind of a sword or a spear or a lance. Okay, what show, what movie was that? You'd like to see it, wouldn't you? All right, let's see. Well, you know, you get carried away by this, but this was based on the whole premise of terror that involves kids when they have to learn to play some kind of a crazy instrument. Well, I'll tell you this. One of the great fears in my high school days, and this is when I was going to high school, I had a fear, and it was really a great fear. And it had nothing to do with algebra, had nothing to do with English or history. But every Thursday afternoon at 3:30, I used to have to go into this private band room. I played in the orchestra and the band. And I would have to go into this private band room, and we had a lady, very, she was not really strict, but she was enigmatic. I was saying things. And she was tall and thin. Her name was Miss McCullough. And Miss McCullough taught the strings in the orchestra. And every Thursday at 3:30 was my time. And for 15 minutes, I would stand before this music stand with a big double D-flat bass, a big, big bass fiddle, what you call a bass fiddle, big fiddle, big bass. And she would just say nothing. She'd just take the lesson book that we used, the exercise book, she'd just open it to a page. She'd say, I want you to start at figure C. And I would take up my bow, nervous, sweaty. I'd take up my bow and I'd put rosin on it. I always used to try to stall for time. I'd adjust it. I'd put the rosin on it, and then I'd look at, because getting started was the worst, most difficult part. And I'd put my hand up on the bridge, you know, up there, and I'd listen to the bass. Doom, 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 doom. I was pretending to tune it. Doom, 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 doom. And Miss McCullough would look at her watch, meaning, let's get on the stick. say nothing. She's sitting there in her metal chair and just waiting. And then I would start to play. I played for 2 hours straight. All I had to do was play maybe three or four measures from this macaw. My hand is aching all the way up through my elbow. It's your left hand that aches when you play the bass. And then I would finish that section. Section C. Now, would you turn to page 57? I'd like you to try page 57 and begin at the top. And I would turn to page 57, and there it would be at the top. It says pizzicato. Now, pizzicato, if you are not aware of the term, pizzicato means a string that is plucked. To pluck it is pizzicato. You know, boom, boom. So I'd say, all right, 57. Should I start at the top, Miss McCullough? Yes, please. And so I would get that bass, and I would start. I go, boom, 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 boom. By this time, now my left hand is aching all the way into my shoulder, and I feel seven gigantic blisters forming on my right hand, which they never did when I played. Oh, I used to dread Thursdays. Never told me anything. Just sit and listen. And I think that is one of the scariest feelings that a man can have. Somebody is just sitting and just sitting and just sitting and just listening. So wherever you are, kids that are taking those piano lessons, we bow our head for 10 seconds in silence. You know exactly what you're going through. God only knows the tortures that man can wreak upon his fellow man. Oh. Hey, listen, speaking of tortures, are you one of those people that's on a diet? Well, this is a goodie. If you don't want to give up bread while you're on your diet, we would like to suggest that you try Hollywood bread. You know that a medium-sized grapefruit has more calories than an average slice of bread? So do oranges, apples, and many other fruits. And the bakers of Hollywood Bread have made it easier for bread lovers who wish to lose weight. And they're offering Eleanor Hansberry's Calorie and Carbohydrate Guide free wherever Hollywood Bread is sold. That's Hollywood Bread. Now, let's see. We got a couple of other. Do you have that Cunard spot in there? Let's hear it.
You know, you can see up to 6 Caribbean islands in 1 week. For not much more than you'd spend to stay on one island. Just hop aboard a Cunard cruise ship. Cunard will arrange to fly you to and from San Juan, where you board the Cunard Ambassador or Cunard Adventurer. It's extraordinary fun. You visit up to 6 islands in 7 days. Islands like Antigua for beaches, Barbados for tennis, St. Thomas for shopping, plus St. Martin and Martinique. Your Cunard cruise ship is like a resort hotel that sails from island to island. On board ship, there's more to do than on most islands. You can swim all day, drink at the poolside bar, dance at the cabaret, or in the nightclub where there's a live floor show. There's a movie every evening, and there's a captain's cocktail party. All this, plus your airfare, stateroom, meals, and superb British service are included in one reasonable price. Call your travel agent or Cunard. Great ships of British registry since 1840.
Oh, how elegant. That's a great accent. By the way, here's a furniture sale for people who don't want to wait for any kind of sales. It's old Huffman Coos. And, yeah, remember that night we were out there, Jerry? It was wild. But nevertheless, Huffman Coos have all the great classics that sell well at regular prices year after year. But they have them at reductions that you just can't refuse. And they have all kinds of great furniture over there. Names like Heritage, Henriden, Drexel, Thomasville, Century, and Temple Stewart with bargains at every price level. So if you're looking for anything in that line, I suggest you visit Huffman Coos. And not only that, they suggest you do it early so you can get the best selection of what they've got going over there, and also deliveries. These prices, by the way, are anywhere from 10 to 20% off the original prices, which are pretty good anyway, every day of the year at Huffman Coos. And while we're talking about the great driven people, incidentally, the name of the movie, if you're still worried about it, I know, if you're still worried about the name of the movie, that film, and I talked to the guy that was the star in it. He's a friend of mine. And I didn't know him until after he made this picture. And I happened to mention this picture to him, and he just absolutely flipped. He says, that was one of the wildest experiences in his life, making that film. And who was it? And what was the film? And while you're pondering great works of art, we would like to salute at this point Orville Redenbacher. Now, Orville Redenbacher is one of those men that America produces, like Orville Wright, like Wilbur Wright, like Thomas Edison, dedicated, hard-driven men. And Orville Redenbacher has devoted his entire adult life to creating a fantastically superior popcorn. Now, don't laugh. By George, people who are popcorn cuckoos, who are addicted to popcorn, know that there is great popcorn and then there's just popcorn. And Orville Redenbacher's popcorn makes the hard chomped-down kernels. You know the kind when you're eating popcorn and you can't get rid of that kernel? He doesn't have that stuff. So you look for Orville Redenbacher's Gourmet Popping Corn. And when you've said that, you've said a mouthful. Say it. Orville Redenbacher's Gourmet Popping Corn. Great for Orville. Yeah. Life among the boll weevils. Thousand Fingers of Doctor. You mean you don't know this movie? I can't believe it. You know what? You know what surprises me? Movie buffs are generally not really fans of. They're not really interested in movies. They're interested in stars. And so they'll go to see a real terrible film by Humphrey Bogart. And here is a really great piece of unbelievably imaginative stuff. And who was the guy? Well, I'll tell you who the guy was. Peter Lynn Hayes. Mary Healy. And who else? Madman. Really a great... And this is one of the best roles I ever saw this guy play. The guy that played the devil. The evil movie. He was a movie music teacher. He was a music teacher. Fanatic. They had this fantastic school for kids. And the kids were like in a concentration camp. They used to have cells. They had cells for them. They kept them in. They drag them out of a cage to play the piano. They had numbers. They each had a little beanie, great little beanie with a plastic hand on it that showed the fingers of the piano.
Bring it up there, please.
Oh yeah, it'll work out.
Good evening, and welcome.